So we've come to the last in the series called Lockdown Lessons. And today we're going to be thinking a bit about maybe what God taught us back in lockdown and even over the last weeks and months about what it means to know that God loves his church. And as we think about that, I'm going to ask a few questions and I wonder which or how you might respond to these. I've been thinking about them and I think they're really relevant. And so the first one is, what is it that has been taken away from you the last 6 months? Has it been your job? Has it been being able to see family or friends, your normal working pattern? Has it been your health? Has there been health issues? What is it that's been taken away from you? Because I think we have had things taken away from us, things that we've really missed and found hard during this season. And it's likely that there's more of that to come again. And so my next question, which is, what is it that you fear? What anxieties do you have about what's ahead? And maybe you've got concerns about what Christmas might look like. Maybe you've got concerns about your job security, about how you can see people, family, friends, what church might look like. Fears, anxieties, what we've lost, what we might lose in the future. All those things are really unsettling and really hard. And maybe you're beginning to ask, well, God, if you are a God of love, where are you? Why aren't you intervening? Why aren't you making this easier? Many of us have found that hard, haven't we? Being able to manage our relationship with God and trust that he loves us through the hard times that we're in. And that's one of the lessons that I think I've been learning and growing in, understanding more of God's love for me, for his church, for Barton Church, in the hardships that we're facing at the moment. And one of my concerns actually has been over recent months is, what if Barton is crumbling? What if people are really struggling in faith and slipping away, not being supported and followed up and a part of community because we're not in person, because we can't see the numbers of people that we were seeing? What, God, if you know, you're letting go of your church and you're not really intervening and doing stuff? What if the church, not just at Barton, but in Canterbury and Faversham and around the UK, and what if actually people are slipping away? And I think we've talked about this as leaders. We've seen this phase as a bit of a refining season, a time when God is refining his church. He is doing something through this hardship, this suffering that we're experiencing, the different way of doing church. And we need to accept that. But what we must hold on to is the fact that God loves his people. He's got a plan for his people. He's got a purpose. And he is still on the throne. He is still in control. He is sovereign and he is good and he is loving. And I need to believe that and trust that every day. Not that what I do or don't do or what happens with the lockdown, returning or not returning, the restrictions on worship services, the guidelines that the government give, the numbers and the stats with the pandemic, that is not the main thing. The main thing is God is a God of love that we can trust, that loves his church and that is going to achieve his purposes for his church. And as we come to this passage today from Ephesians 3, I think it really helps us because it gives us strength. It gives us a reminder to look to the God of love and grasp more of his love, more of his plan for his people. And so we're going to look at it together. It's been read for us, hasn't it? And Ephesians chapter 3, pick up your Bible if you've got one. And we're going to first think about what it is that can help us trust this God of love. Help us trust that he does love us. And because of that, we can cope and carry on amidst some of our fears, our anxieties and the hardships that maybe we are experiencing and facing right now as Christians in this world. And you might have noticed that the first phrase in verse 14 of chapter 3 is "for this reason." So Paul's about to pray. He prays this prayer for spiritual strength and love for the church. But he says, "for this reason I pray." What is the reason? Well, we also at the start of chapter 3 get, "for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." See, Paul has been beginning the first few chapters of his letter to this church in Ephesus, saying that all Jew and Gentiles are one in Christ, are saved by grace through faith, not through works, not through ethnicity or any other thing, but through Christ Jesus's death on the cross for them. And that is a reconciling death, which reconciles people with God and people with one another. The church, as Paul saw it, was made up of both Jew and Gentile, equal before God. And that was something to be celebrated. And that was an issue that the church at Ephesus needed to know. And so as he now comes to this part of chapter 3 in his letter, where he says that because of that, because we're one in Christ, because the mystery of God has been revealed, that God is welcoming in all people to his family, because of that, he can pray this. So verse 14, kneeling before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. He can pray that because God is Father of all, Jew, Gentile, you and me. Regardless to our ethnicity, regardless to our age or our gender, God is Father of all of us. And as he comes to pray, as Paul comes to pray, that really matters because it puts us in the plan of God for his people. So God loving all his people, being in control because he is Father, Creator, Lord of all, that's brought about a plan of salvation. So the first reason that we have to hang on to God's love for us is this, is that God's grace is for you and me, just like it was for the Jew and the Gentile to whom Paul wrote that letter to Ephesus. And that church had to know that, and we need to know it. We need to know that God's grace is for us. God is for us. Therefore, what we're going through, what we're in, we can know that God's grace is going to be enabling us to cope. But more than that, he's done a saving work in us through Jesus' death on the cross. Now, that matters because the God that we trust, the God that we turn to in hardships, in the struggles of where are you, God? Is church growing or not? Are we kind of seeing people slip away or not? Are we going to get through this next health pandemic? Are we going to cope when our job goes? Are we going to cope with fears of how to do social distancing? What Christmas is going to look like? All these everyday things, all these big things that matter. The standpoint that we approach God with is one that we have received his grace. His grace is for us, which means God is for us. And if God is for us, then the whole situation changes. And now we find what Paul is aiming at in this prayer. If that's the kind of context of the letter and the start of this prayer of to a father who loves his children, who loves Paul, who loves the Church of Ephesus, who loves Barton Church, then this is where Paul goes next. He says from verse, just as we look at it, from verse 16 to 17, it says, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Strengthen you. This is about spiritual strength, power. So God's grace for you, God's power for you, God's power for me. But that power, that strength isn't just to get us through a problem, get us through to cope with Christmas when we might not see everyone that we want, to cope with the job that has suddenly gone, to cope financially or with health issues or whatever it might be. That strength, that spiritual strength is directed somewhere more important. And we find it in the verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is praying for their spiritual strength, not just to cope with persecution or the struggles of life or their issues between Jew and Gentile. He's praying for spiritual strength for the church to be strengthened in faith in Christ. If we have faith in Christ, which we all want to grow in if we're Christians, or if you're looking into what Christianity is about today, it's about God's power to fill us so that we would know him, and that by his Holy Spirit. And that is a game changer. That is so significant, because if we have spiritual strength to know Christ in our hearts, then we're able to cope with the issues that come our way. It's like an anchor that keeps us fixed and certain. Whatever the waves, the storms may come, we have got an anchor that is sure and steadfast. And so here we find Paul praying that the church would have Christ dwell in their hearts through faith. And that is a power experience of strengthening for each Christian. We receive that when we come to faith, but we need that day by day, that strengthening spiritually. So I need not fear at the spiritual well-being of the church. Yes, I should care. Yes, I should pray. Yes, I should, along with the leaders and the one another within the church, do all we can to support those that are struggling in faith. But I can also pray, God, by your strength, would you spiritually strengthen those that are wavering, struggling, finding this particularly hard. Help me in the middle of that, Lord God, because I need it too. Because you love us. And we know that from your grace, which is for us. We know that from your power, which is for us. See, often we try to do things in our own strength, don't we? A month ago, I decided to sign up to the virtual marathon. The London Marathon is something that I've thought about doing, but never really seriously wanted to do. So when I heard that I could sign up and there were some places left to do it here in the Canterbury area, the Faversham area, I thought, great, I'm going to sign up. I've got a month. I'm just going to get up at five every morning. I'm going to run. I'm going to get fit within the space of a month to complete the London Marathon, 26.2 miles in this area. It'll be easier than having to go to London, and there aren't any places left for the London Marathon, and I'm not an elite runner, so I can't do that. But I thought I could do that in my own strength. I'd forgotten that I had a bit of a calf injury that actually got worse after my first run. I suddenly realised that I needed at least 2 or 3 weeks rest before I could run again. I then thought after a week, well, I'll just test my leg. And what did I find? It was still injured. So all this time, and should I be running the marathon today in my own strength? That would be impossible. In God's strength, maybe, with some sort of super miracle going on. Possibly. The reality is that I thought in my strength, in my ability, I almost deceived myself that I could do this. Train for a marathon in a month. Rubbish. No chance, especially with an injury. So often we go through life thinking that in our strength, we can do stuff. We can cope with life's struggles. We have to realize that often we delude ourselves. We're kind of self-deceiving ourselves. No, we need God's power. We need God's strength. We need his grace to get through life. But more than that, to strengthen our faith. And so Paul is praying for the church. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your abilities. I'm going to pray for God's power to strengthen your heart, to strengthen your faith. And then what will happen? And here's the next thing that will happen, is that God's love will be known. And that's what Paul prays for. He says in verse 18, doesn't he, that I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love. So a lockdown lesson for me has been to know the love of God. And this love isn't something that is about my love for God here. This is more about God's love for you and me, for us, for the church. We are God's loved church. We are God's loved church, which is why he has, in his grace, made a way for us to be saved, which is why in his love he has given us power and spiritual strength to grow in faith, to have Christ dwell in our hearts. And it's a love that we can get to know. So as we trust God in the hardships of life, this is a love that we need to be growing in, learning more of, the height of it, the depth of it, the width of it, the length of it. This is a love that is surpassing of our full understanding. It's God and his love. It's God himself. This is how John Stott puts God's love in this passage. It's wide enough for all mankind. It's long enough to last for eternity. It's deep enough to reach the most degraded sinner, and it's high enough to exalt him to heaven. Wow. That's the love that God has for you and for me. That's the love that we put our trust in. not our ability to love, God's love for us, that is a perfect love that drives out fear. That means when you think, oh, I've lost so much this last 6 months, or, oh my goodness, how on earth is the future going to work out? I'm fearful and I'm anxious. God, where are you in all this? We can go, this is where God is. He's given me his grace, his way back into relationship with him. He's filled me with power to keep believing by faith. And he's shown his love for me that can be known. It's a high, deep, long, wide love that is a saving love. And this is what Paul is praying passionately for his church, and what we should pray passionately for one another, to know this love. This is a love that is revealed in Jesus Christ. It's what the letter's been about, which is what Paul has been describing to this church. He's saying, look, you want to get through life, then it starts with getting to know God. Know his love for you. He's saved you. He's kind of bonded you together, Jew and Gentile. He's revealed this mystery now in his son, Jesus Christ. And it's a love that can help us today. So let's look now, just to finish with, practically what that love looks like. And throughout the Bible, there's loads of illustrations and stories that help us capture it. And I just want to pick on three. And the first one is this example of God's love for you and for me. And it's the example of God's fatherly love for a child. And in the book of Deuteronomy, as well as many other places in the Old Testament, we come across this. And it's a love that is described like a father's love for a child or a son, in the way that God the Father loves his people Israel, to the extent that he saved them from Egypt through the Exodus. He placed them in a land to grow and to develop and to know him and to be a witness, a light to the nations. But along the way, they struggled. They had hardships. They had fears. They doubted. And what was God like? Did he just judge them? No, we see him described as a God that is like a father who carries a child when they are struggling. This is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. It puts it really powerfully, actually. And this struck me just a few weeks ago as I was reading it. This is what Moses said. God said, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. How the Lord your God carried you like a father. The picture in the Bible is God loving us in the way that a father picks up a child and carries them when they can't walk anymore up a hill, when they're struggling and they're exhausted, when they're scared, whatever, or when they just need an embrace. If you're a father, you can imagine that. As a child, maybe you can imagine that. But whatever your experience is, that is how God loves you. Like a father's love. And what that shows is that it's rooted in the past. That's where the people of Israel were encouraged to remember. Right then, before they were entered the land of Canaan, this is what God says. Look back how I carried you through those wilderness years, how I carried you out of Egypt for us. Look how I've done things in the past in your life. I've loved you. I've helped you. I've cared for you, he says. And we see that ultimately through what Jesus has done in the past for us. His death on a cross to give us life. He's carried us by loving us like that. And the second image I want to give you is one of a shepherd. So we've got the image of a father, now an image of a shepherd. And his shepherdly love is like something that we need to grasp to. And there's many stories and illustrations in the New Testament, as well as the Old, of Jesus being our good shepherd. And there's the parable that he says that Jesus is like the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to rescue the one sheep that's wandered off, that's got stuck in a bush or might be under attack from animals, from predators. And the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes to find, to seek and save that lost sheep. Because the one matters. Yes, the 99 matters, but there was rejoicing in heaven, Jesus says, when the one was found. Like when there's one sinner found, one wayward Christian found, there is rejoicing. So I fear as to what might be happening in Barton, how people are, if they keep going in faith, are they struggling in faith? You might be fearful of any number of things in your life. God's love is like this, like the love of a shepherd caring for the one sheep that is struggling, that is wandering, that is stuck and under attack. It is a guarding, protective love. It is a love that is described like this in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of the shepherd's hand. God's love is protective. And that means it's active in the present. It's grounded in the past. Remember, he carried us like a father carries a child. But it's active in the present too. It's protective now. It cares. It guards like a shepherd for the sheep. And so we're called to trust the fatherly love of God. We're called to listen to the shepherdly love of God, to listen and follow him, to know that he cares for us and tracks us down when we go astray, and that his grace is there day after day after day. And the third image that I want to finish by highlighting is that God's love is like a king's love for his people. And that's another image that we find throughout the Bible. The king who is pictured to be at the end of the race, having won the race for us, and cheers you on, cheers me on as we run the race of life with the hurdles in the way, COVID-19 being one hurdle, your job situation another, your relationships, your health, whatever the hurdles are, faith to carry on. And in the book of Hebrews, the author puts it like this. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the King Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the race. He died and rose again and is ascended in that place of victory. And he's cheering us on, saying, keep going in the race. Don't stop. Don't look back. Do you know, Oz, you can't run a marathon, but it's okay. I've run it for you. Oz, keep going in your faith. Keep persevering. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the King who's on his throne. And you know what? As you do that, throw off the sin that's struggling and entangling around you. Persevere. Be faithful and obedient. And I'm going to give you power to do that. And so Paul is writing this letter with a prayer in it that says, don't forget grace. God's grace is for you. Don't think you need to do it in your power. God's power is for you. And don't forget God's love. God's love is great. Get to know his love and trust him, the father who carries you, the shepherd who cares and protects you, and the king who's cheering you on, who has won the race for you and says, do you know what? It's going to be okay. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Keep going. That is the God that we trust. That is the God that helps us when we feel anxious and fearful. That is the God that helps us when we've got uncertainty in the future. Because as well as our faith in him being grounded in the past, in Jesus' death and resurrection, it's active in the present because he cares and protects and guards us. And it's certain in the future because he's won the race. He's on his throne. He's in heaven. He's saying, one day you're going to be with me, reigning with me, enjoying my presence forever. And that's one thing that I learned during lockdown over the last 6 months, that whatever hard things are going on in life, I can trust God's love because it's been proven, because I've experienced it, and it's not going to stop. God's love wins. It is winning and it will win. So just as we finish, what can we go away with? I think this is a call for us as a church to remember that we are loved. We are loved by the King, by the Shepherd, by our Father. And as we remember we are loved, we listen to him like the Shepherd that he is. We pray to him like the Father that he is. That's what Paul did, didn't he? He said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Let's kneel and pray to the Father of love. Let's listen to the Shepherd. That means reading our Bibles. That means listening to one another. That means being ready to follow and obey the Father, the Shepherd, and our King, and keep persevering to the end, knowing that we are loved. We are Barton Church, his loved church. He is going to be growing us, refining us, using us to glorify him. And I'm just going to finish with these verses to help us remember that God is going to do a work through us. This is what it says at the end of chapter 3, 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.